or totally deluded about his talent and value. After a lengthy recitation of events leading up to their lunch, Eisner continued, "That was some lunch, and the event I described at the top of his memo. He was hurt. He couldn't believe I hadn't offered him the job as soon as I found out about Frank on Sunday. He was shocked that at the dinner last night I only talked about the situation as though Frank were still in the equation. He assumed I only took Frank's job as a very short-term corporate thing, and intended to reverse that very soon. He said I told him last summer if Frank were not around, he'd have the job. And certainly Jeffrey did not cause or ask for Frank's death. It was only my loyalty to Frank and Frank's ability that precluded Jeffrey getting the job last summer, a job he now says he never asked for. I immediately said no. I told him to read the newspapers on my views of a partnership as I described Frank in the LA Times and the New York Times. I told him that although I trusted him, it wasn't the same as the way I trusted Frank, and I would have to have that." On the subject of trust, Eisner reminded Katzenberg of a long-ago grudge. In those 19 years, more like 16, there had been 3 or 4 Jeffrey Katzenbergs. "I reminded him that after he worked for me a couple of months at Paramount, he went to Barry Diller and told Barry I should be fired. Barry asked him why, seeing that we were the top studio the last 4 years and had 5 of the top 10 television shows. I do not remember his answer. He left that room with his tail between his legs. The lunch ended badly. Where do we now stand? I am not quite sure. After my lunch, where Jeffrey gave me the take it or leave it, I asked Sandy Litvak to come into my office. I explained the whole thing to Sandy, and of course he was so outraged, as were you and Stanley Gold. Stanley Gold said, 'Everybody in the town knows he has failed. Who does he think he is? And fuck him!' And we all know how much Roy Disney hates Jeffrey, and Stanley made it clear, mostly to Sandy later, that if we backed into giving Jeffrey Frank's job, Roy would quit the board and go public. At any rate, Sandy went to speak to Jeffrey about his outrageous position. Sandy came back to me shocked. Jeffrey was shaking with anger and was very upset. He said to Sandy, as I understand it, 'I am Michael Eisner. I am better than Michael Eisner was 10 years ago. I will be Michael Eisner, if not here, somewhere.' And on and on. Sandy thought I should dump Jeffrey immediately. But we discussed it, and I decided that I would talk to Jeffrey, calm it all down, and put things on my schedule. Frankly, I do not believe there are so many jobs open right now, although I will not kid myself. Jeffrey will do very well. He will end up a high-level executive, but eventually he will fail." Eisner made it clear that there was now no way that Katzenberg could succeed Wells. "Jeffrey is waiting and probably has deluded himself into believing that he will get Frank's job. He has probably figured out that all the jobs he thought were there for him are not really there right now. Jeffrey cannot assume Frank's position, and that is that." Eisner concluded, "I am not sure why I have written this letter, except to get my thoughts down on paper. Maybe this will be interesting to read in a couple of years. In the meantime, I am sure the saga will continue. Michael." April 16, 1994. The following Monday, all participants in the saga gathered at New York's Palace Theater for opening night of Beauty.